the story of Randall Ortal is a story that I've been following in and around our newspapers, our online news sources for a while now. And then I slowly got to know him a little bit on social media platforms, particularly his TikTok account, which is actually a valuable community resource. He answers people's questions live, and he also poses scenarios, not only just to deliver information, but also to help communities and the community that he's from, Manaburg, to think a little bit more critically about their health. He's a family physician, an occupational medical practitioner who hails from Manenberg on the Cape Flats. He's reportedly the first medical doctor of color from Manenberg. And he's also will soon graduate with his master's in medicine from the University of Cape Town. Another first for Manenberg in that particular field, and he's currently a lecturer at the family medicine department at UCT, also attached to Groote Schuur Hospital. Dr. Randall Ortal is live in studio with us. You have the ring light, you have the TikTok set up, because this is what it's all about. It's not just about what you do in your practice and delivering the service in our public health institutions, but also using that phone and that ring light, and you connect it to social media to interact with your community and providing the education information about their health. But good morning, Randall. Hope you're well.
Yeah, good morning, Lester, and thanks for having me on 5, 6, 7 a.m.
are you Manenberg's first doctor, reportedly? I know you also then put that out there. I'm doing research myself, and I want to confirm this because I've seen this for the last while, the last few years, and that you're Manenberg's first doctor from, you know, the streets of Manenberg. Is that correct?
So there were two other doctors that qualified before me, but however, from the community standpoint, they don't know these people. So, you know, they qualified and they've ever since left the community. Mm. They don't know where they are. So because I'm tangible, I'm approachable, I'm seeable, you know, they claim that I'm the first Manenberg doctor.
On the streets now and from the streets then, because your story is quite interesting. also recently reading that you paid for your studies by working as a taxi driver. That's a transition from, you know, from Mowbray Carping from Manenberg to Cape Town to the lecture halls of UCT to the surgical units of Groote Schuur Hospital. Yeah. What's that journey been like?
Yeah, so thanks for that question, Lester. So I studied my undergraduate degree at Stellenbosch University. So I got in, had merit bursaries and so forth. And however, that only covered tuition fees. And as you know, as any young person, I mean, we've got our own needs. I mean, I needed traveling, you know, money from Manenberg to Tigerberg Hospital, needed lunch money and so forth. And I mean, we needed to travel to different rotations. And at that time, student transport was not that popular as what it's now at universities. They just gave you a rotation and you needed to be there. My parents were average workers. I mean, my dad worked in the harbor, my mom worked in the clothing factory. And I already saw the stress they were under. And I mean, I just took it upon myself, look, I need to make a plan. I looked around chain stores and so forth. At that time, the going rate was 10 rand an hour. So I mean, if I worked 12 hours on a Saturday and a Sunday, it would only be like 120 rand a shift. And it wasn't really enough. And then I just saw the taxis and I'm like, I'm doing this. So I needed to be compliant. I needed to get a PDP and all that stuff because I had my drivers. But I wanted to be compliant because I didn't want a criminal record. There was no point in me completing medical school at the end of 6 years, then get a criminal record, you know, and you can't register. And that journey was fantastic. You know, I drove a taxi Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. When it was, when there's no exams, when it was exams, I would only do a Friday and a Saturday, and then rest on a Sunday. So you can imagine during the week, Monday to Thursday, from about 6 in the evening, I'd be studying 6 hours a day just to make sure that I have enough time to drive a taxi over the weekend.
What's a bigger responsibility, getting the hard workers of Cape Town and Manenberg to work on time or to ensure the medical health needs of people? Of course, medical health is important, but that is also a pressurized job and probably giving you some lessons on punctuality. You know, I'm going to say you stuck to the rules of the road and not going to fall into the tropes of what we believe taxi drivers to be, but obviously some lessons that you transported into your medical career.
Yeah, so Lester, I always tell people, you know, the phase you go through in life is the phase that you learn from. And I mean, that was a phase that I went through. I learned to obviously be on time because you got what we call regulars. You know, there's people that wait at 6:05 because they need to be at work at 6:45, etc. So instead of them looking for a different taxi every day, you sort of built a rapport with these people. So I learned to be on time. I also learned, you know, emotional intelligence. I mean, how to deal with certain people. I mean, you get people that are moody, you get people that that don't talk, you get people that are jovial in the morning. So you need to deal with that. And then you also deal with the other element of crime and gangsterism, you know, in the taxi. You know, where people want to drive for free, you know, they want to harass your patrons and so forth. So you as the driver and my gachi, like we say it, I mean, we obviously have the responsibility to protect our patrons. And I was straight to the point with these guys. I mean, touch wood, I mean, and thank God it didn't really happen to me. But I mean, there was two occasions where people like tried to extort money from me. And I just told them, look, this is who I am. I'm here to drive for a reason. And I don't have time for this nonsense. So you know.
Being from the community, still being active in the community, being at Grote Skare, where you then see people who are from various Cape Town communities, and having a social media platform, how important is it to have that, whether it be the lingua franca or the vernacular, or simply just the outlook on life, and also maybe the understanding on people's social and socioeconomic situation?
Yes.
How important is that for you to connect with a patient?
Lester, it is extremely important, because, you know, if I see a patient, I've got one patient in front of me. So, for instance, with a management plan, I mean, medication is one aspect of a management plan, but there's also lifestyle changes. For instance, if you have an asthmatic or something, I mean, you need to speak about carpets and cockroaches and dust and those sort of things that are triggers. And on the Cape Flats community, we know cockroaches are relevant. I mean, it's prevalent there, due to our conditions. So with me explaining the same thing over and over and over to a patient, what I've done is now I do a TikTok video on it and I play it to my patient during the consultation. They then have the opportunity to ask me a question. And what I found is I actually get more into the consultation, because the video is pre-recorded that I play, and I know it's like 10, 15 seconds or a minute. And then we get to do a question and answer session. I can also obviously see people's economic status, because when they reach out to me on social media, is that there's a problem with access as well. So we call it the social determinants of health. Either you can't get to the hospital because of a taxi, there's gang violence, or you don't have money. Or the biggest complaint I get is that the security wants to know the appointment date when they get to the hospital, not even a medical staff member. So, I mean, those are the things that we deal with. It's not particularly bad if the security interviews you, because they also need to make sure that the patrons in the hospital are safe. And you get the people's understanding, because when they come home to Manenberg and I, you know, take a run in the afternoon or my bicycle or something, they tell me, look, I was at the hospital today. The doctor did absolutely nothing for me. So I'm like, what do you mean? Of course, we're speaking Afrikaans. I'm like, he didn't even examine me. He didn't touch me. But then I'm like, your consultation was for blood results, for a follow-up. Mm. What expectation did you have? So looking at the patient's expectation, it's also important.
You deal with a lot with preventative health in your videos, and whether it be issues around lifestyle diseases, hypertension, blood pressure, sugar levels. You deal with a lot of how do you even prevent it from getting there. We know that economics plays a role in what people eat. We know that the stresses of a difficult life leads to some all sorts of stresses that has influence on the body. Just how important is it to tell people in your community you shouldn't just be seeking advice, you should just be looking after your health by going to a clinic or a doctor? Your health starts long before that.
Correct. And I can't stress that enough. So prevention is key, because for me, in our environment, if the patient comes and they need an amputation, it's too late. I mean, if there's no blood supply and they already got ulcers on the foot, let's say it's a diabetic and they got ulcers on the foot, it's too late. I mean, the prevalent thing among males now at the moment is erectile dysfunction. So I mean, by the time they get there, I know they are undiagnosed diabetic or undiagnosed hypertensive. So once I get there, then it's almost, you know, too late, because now you've got to reverse and try and reverse the catastrophe. So I also take cultural practices into consideration, because people, their staple meals are bread and those sort of things, and it's starch. So how do we manage? And I'm actually looking at a bit of research as to how you can actually manage diabetes and hypertension with our standard foods available in the community. And balance it out so that people can obviously prevent.
Speaking of foods, I know of too many people, Randall, particularly people who I know have to get up very early to catch a train, a taxi, a bus to get to work a 12-hour shift in a factory or some blue-collar job and make their way. They are tired. So what they're going to do, they're going to grab an energy drink, a cheap 10-rand energy drink. And you know what? I'm going to take some, you know, grandpa powder. Just have to say grandpa because that's then take a grandpa powder, a score, and a grandpa.
Yes.
Personally, I can see it around with people that don't know. It's what they need to get this day going.
Yeah.
But I think it's very, very harmful. And I know of many people who start their day, particularly in working class communities, that's how they need to start the day, to have the energy, you know, to get to the job in the morning.
That's correct. Lester, I fell in that trap as well because, you know, you go with what you see. And it's all behavioral from patients. So if you don't know what your energy requirements are for the day, you wouldn't know to look on the score or whatever cool drink you're drinking, what the kilojoules is there or the energy. So those are the basics that I focus on, to try and tell people, just look and add for the day and you work it out yourself. Because once you empower the patient, remember a doctor is a facilitator. We are not policemen of health. We are there to facilitate. So we show you how to prevent. We show you what the complications can be. And then we walk the path together. Because I see you for 10 to 15 minutes in a consultation. Once every 3 months. So I see you for an hour a year. I mean, if you look at it in that way, I mean, what impact can I have? I mean, majority of your healthcare is then in your hands. And that is why I'm empowering the patient. I'm empowering the community. I'm all for this community talks where you have like 30 to 40 people in one room and you speak about one topic, because that's where you also, you know, pick up on peer support. Because, I mean, how many times, you know, do you have an expert in your community, but you don't know about the expert?
Someone on TikTok said, score tastes like electricity. I agree with that. But let's talk about you're now a famous doctor.
Okay.
40, almost 50,000 followers on TikTok.
Sure.
You don't want to be the last doctor from Manenberg.
Definitely not.
You're wanting to really open up the world of medical health as a profession to the young people of Manenberg. Talk to me about the foundation, the learning support program, even the bursary program that you want to introduce to tell youngsters from Manenberg, say that medical health, whether it be a nurse, occupational health specialist, whether you're a physio, whether you're a medical doctor, these are all opportunities available for you. How are you trying to make that accessible?
Okay, so Lester, I've been doing it for a while, probably for the last 3 years or so, or 4 years, if not longer. Essentially, what I saw is that I had an opportunity to get into medical school. I knew what it took me. I knew how my parents needed to support me, my family, etc. If I look at the kids in the community, they've got potential. Not always talent, they've got potential. And then, you know, how do I get around them, or how do I get hold of them? So I actually put out messages and say, who wants to be a doctor, who wants to be in the medical field? So once they sign up with me, I look at their marks, I explain to them the admission criteria. I walk the path with them to satisfy that admission criteria. Because people, like the kids are age specific. A 16-year-old is not going to show you that much of perseverance because they only have 16 years of experience in life. They don't know what's lying ahead. So for you that has been there, that walks the path, you got to hold their hand. So that is essentially what the foundation is about, is looking for these promising kids in the community. So now, you know, obviously medicine is not the majority. So I don't have a lot of people in my foundation, but I mean the 5, the 6, the 7 that I'm supporting is doing the business.
Dr. Randall Hotel, unfortunately that's all we have time for. I'd love to get you in for a longer conversation, but I know you have to start rounds in a short while. Dr. Randall Hotel, search for him on social media, see what he does and the information and the education and the inspiration that he puts out in his community of Manenberg. Randall, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Lester. Thanks for having me.